represent the appellants in this case, and it's a review of a summary judgment by the trial court against the appellants. And the one thing I'd like to draw your attention to this morning in particular is the fact that there are four separate defendants in the case. One is Gateway Capital Partners. Another one is GCP. They are each Utah LLCs, and they each have common managers named Sean Hammond and Byron Lusk. And the real point I'd like to make is that there was not a strict delineation of what each one of those defendants' role was in putting a loan together for myself and my wife. We are the appellants in this case. The Gateway Capital Partners initially signed a letter of intent saying they would be interested in funding a loan for us. And then Mr. Hammond signed it as the managing partner for Gateway Capital Partners. Thereafter, Gateway did not lend any money but took the loan idea to GCP, which was another LLC, as I said, that also had Mr. Hammond and Mr. Lusk as their managing members. And the point we tried to make with the trial court is that a jury would have to determine what the role was of each of these players at the time that they helped us get this loan. And our contention was that they were acting as mortgage brokers under the definitions of Hawaii law, and that they did not, first of all, were not licensed to act as mortgage brokers in Hawaii, and secondly, that they didn't adequately perform their duties as mortgage brokers.
So when you signed the first amended promissory note and released everybody, what did you mean?
What did it mean?
Yeah. What it says after you obtain the money and you're signing the promissory note, borrower hereby releases, discharges, acquits lender and its members, managers, officers, attorneys, agents from any and all claims, demands, et cetera, et cetera.
That may be as to GCP, but it didn't say anything with respect to Gateway, which is the company that we originally dealt with respect to this loan. It didn't say anything with respect to Mr. Hammond, who was representing Gateway Capital when he initially consulted with us, and he and Gateway took this to GCP and had them issue the loan to us. The contention we made is there's surely a question of fact as to whether or not Gateway Capital and Mr. Hammond were acting as brokers when they took this loan to GCP.
What's the evidence that you point to that you rely upon what did they do that actually suggests that they acted as a broker?
Well, first of all, they Exhibit R attached to the appellee's motion for summary judgment was the initial letter of intent that Mr. Hammond signed as the representative and manager of Gateway Capital Partners.
That's the May 19th letter?
Yes. And then the...
So what is it about that letter that suggests that there was a broker relationship involved here? So does this say there was lender is interested in making a loan?
It doesn't say there was a broker agreement, but but they acted as brokers when they took this to GCP and had GCP fund the loan. And Judge Seabright didn't address that in his ruling. He didn't mention what Gateway Capital's position was or their.
So who was GCP was the lender?
Yes.
Right. Then who was the broker?
The broker was Gateway Capital and Mr. Hammond, who was acting for him and signed the for Gateway. And he actually signed as their managing member on the exhibit.
So,
R.
Gateway and Mr. Hammond were working on your behalf.
Yes.
To find a loan for you.
Yes. And surely
But they did not solicit from any other lender.
They took it to a different lender, which was GCP.
No, I mean other than GCP.
In other words,
what mortgage brokers do is they say, we're going to find you a mortgage. And they go around and look through a whole bunch of different lenders. They try to get you the best rate and so forth. Now, you would agree that didn't happen in this case. It may not be dispositive, but you'd have to agree that didn't happen, right?
I'm not aware of it if it did.
Yeah.
For the sake of argument, no, it didn't happen.
There's nothing in the record that would indicate. Yeah.
But they did take it to another
entity,
lender, and that lender provided a loan.
Why does that, the fact that they took it to another entity that they controlled or had some affiliation with, make them a broker for you as opposed to an agent for the lender? Just because someone solicits a borrower doesn't necessarily make them a mortgage broker per se. So tell me, why do you think that? Go ahead.
Because we paid them $263,000 out of the funding that the loan funding that GCP came up with. They actually received a, call it a commission or a bonus or a treat or whatever you want to call it, for putting us together. And that fits the classic definition under Hawaii law of what a mortgage broker does. Puts two parties together expecting money back.
In the loan agreement, was that sum identified? How was that sum identified?
Only identified at the closing with the closing statement, which is in the record. That actually came out of the loan proceeds, so that was our money.
Was it an advanced payment?
No, it just went to Gateway Capital, three different, I can't remember right offhand what they categorized it as, but I'd like to say
it wasn't categorized as anything very clearly explanatory. It just was identified as a payment.
Yes, it didn't say broker's fee. It was, and that's one of the things this law is supposed to cure, is hiding payments to brokers by calling them something other than that in a closing statement. Maybe if I'd save a couple minutes for my rebuttal, I'll bring that categorization forward, and I have it here, but I just can't put my hand on it right now. But we're talking about summary judgment, and I think that the record clearly shows that there's confusion about this, and at least confusion and uncertainty, which had to be resolved by a trier of fact, and especially when the judge didn't say Gateway loaned money. That was why he let GCP off the hook, is because they were a lender. Clearly Gateway was not a lender, but the theory of the summary judgment was that each of the named defendants was a lender.
So Gateway started out as initially this letter of May 19th, 2008, the preliminary communications and whatnot suggested here that Gateway was going to be the lender, right?
Yes, in fact, they...
You wouldn't be complaining today if Gateway had made the loan. Is that your whole point?
The facts would be different, and I don't know whether they still would be acting as a broker.
How could they be a broker if they were the lender?
Because they came to us to try to put together a loan for us. But that isn't the facts of this case. Those aren't the facts.
The fact that they said that they in that letter they described themselves as the lender.
Right.
And Gateway or its designee is the lender.
Right, and if they'd been the lender, then you're right, the argument would obviously be different, but they didn't turn out to be the lender, and Judge Seabright's order.
But the letter says that they can either lend it or they can designate somebody, like, quite reasonable that it was one of their other companies.
Well, then if you extend that, then they are agreeing to be a broker if they're agreeing to designate somebody to furnish the loan.
Well, a broker doesn't usually designate somebody. Yeah.
He goes and finds them.
Yeah, he goes and finds someone. But it's not that it's a company owned by the same individuals. That doesn't sound like a broker. It sounds like the people, same people making the loan to a different corporation.
That was not the logic used by the court in granting the summary judgment. The logic was is that each of the defendants was a lender. They clearly were not. So, I don't know what to do. I'm out of time. Are there more questions, or do I sit down?
There is no more time, but we'll give you a minute or two for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Sean Smith for the appellees.
You have to speak up a little.
Sorry. Sean Smith for the appellees. How's that?
Better.
Okay.
So what was the payment to Gateway out of the loan
payment
process?
The payment to Gateway, Your Honor, is designated, it is, as Mr. McCarty stated, it's designated as three separate things. One just says payment to Gateway. One says development funds to
Don't
Gateway.
Don't try to speak up.
We can't hear you.
Okay. The payments are not specified as broker fees, that's for sure. They're not. It doesn't say exactly what they are, and I don't personally know what they're for. One's designated as
payment. Doesn't it make a difference to you?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't it make a difference to you?
It's interesting that it's not specified as a broker fee for me. I would think it would be.
Right, but I mean, summary judgment, so they get the inferences are drawn in their favor.
Right.
So some payment was made to Gateway. What was it for?
Well, I think on summary judgment, inferences are drawn in their favor, but they have to be reasonable inferences. And the.
Right, so what was the payment for?
I don't know, Your Honor. I mean, it's. When Mr. McCarty asked Mr. Hammond, the response, according to his brief, is that the payments were how the investors wanted it paid out. So that's the level of specificity we're dealing with.
You mean that was at the deposition? Was there a deposition taken here?
No, there was not, Your Honor. That's in his briefs. So that's his position.
So nobody sat down with this with Mr. Hammond or the other fellow?
Not in the proceedings below. There was no depositions.
No deposition?
There were some interrogatories, but nothing that sort of was directed to that particular question. But I think based on his representation, you have to assume that the representations that were made to him were that these were payments made out to investors. And so I think if you take a look at the letter of intent, which then is Gateway, so we're talking about the same principals, Sean Hammond, Byron Luss, working for Gateway. That's the first contact with Mr. McCarty is under this banner of Gateway. And they say, yes, we want to make you a loan. We or a designated entity will make you a loan. And I think it's pretty clear that the designated entity wound up making the loan, and it's their company. I mean, that's the reasonable inference that I draw from this. Mr. McCarty has two other brokers. That's in the record. The actual mortgage brokers are cited to the IndyMac case, I think, where it discusses how it's relevant to the determination of whether or not the lender can be considered a mortgage broker if the person already has their own mortgage brokers. So we're not talking about these two gentlemen coming to him and saying, we're going to make you a loan or we're going to go out and find you a lender. He's got brokers that connected him with these two gentlemen who own two companies, and we're basically trying to figure out how to structure this thing, whether it's going to come through Gateway or whether it's going to come through GCP. So I think that's what the record shows.
Would it make a difference if it were like a finder's fee or something?
You know, a finder's fee, it's a different label. I don't know that it would make a difference. And one really key reason that it wouldn't make a difference is the remedy that he's seeking. And that's the remedy is under this Chapter 454 Fire by Statute, which is no longer on the books, by the way. But when it was in effect, it says that if you make a contract with an unlicensed mortgage broker, that contract is void. So the remedy he's seeking is voiding the whole loan. And the reason that doesn't make any difference...
He had other claims besides trying to avoid the loan agreement.
Right.
He had other tort claims, which turn on whether or not this is a broker relationship or a lender relationship.
Well, that's correct. He does have claims for damages, which we think also turn on the fact that he needs to have submitted evidence of facts to establish a genuine question of fact as to whether or not there was a relationship between himself and Gateway or himself and GCP to establish that they were his broker. It's just not there. All we have is this letter of intent which says we're interested in being your lender, and then we have some fees that aren't sort of clear about what they're for, but based on representations, they're probably payments to an investor. And then
was that payment reflected as an amount that reduced the amount of loan that was due, or was it still a full amount of loan still due, and it was just money that was given to Gateway?
You know, I'm looking at the settlement statement. It's settlement charges, so it wouldn't be something that's, you know, once the loan is funded and that's get paid out, there'd still be a principal that doesn't take that into account, I would think. But I'm not really sure. I haven't addressed that. I don't know how else to answer that one.
I'm just curious.
The final point I wanted to make on the MSJ question, whether we're dealing with a broker or not, is this idea that these were this was a sort of a loan that was taken from one entity to the next. These are new arguments. This was not brought up. I can cite the court to excerpts of record, pages 52 and 56, and then Judge Seabright's order on excerpts of record, page 28. This was Mr. McCarty's representations to the court were basically that this was a loan that GCP, through Sean Hammond, negotiated and came up with. And there were never any allegations below about Gateway brokering the loan in a sense of taking something from A to B. It was always, the theory below is always that Gateway and GCP were both brokers as well as lenders. And under a broad reading of this Keita case that we both cited, that by virtue of just making the loan, you become a broker. And that's another way to address the broker issue. We haven't really discussed the confirmation of sale issue. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to. And I don't know how much time I have. I'm happy to sit down unless the court has questions.
Okay. Does it make you happy? Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. If I may have a couple minutes, I did find the reference and the designation of the payments to Gateway Capital at closing, and these were monies taken out of the loan proceeds held back just like they would a real estate commission or something like that. One designation was reimbursement costs to Gateway Capital, $5,000. Payment to Gateway Capital, $108,000. And development funds to Gateway Capital, $150,000. And so that's what this was designated as. And clearly, they received a benefit. It doesn't have to be called a broker's commission. Hawaii law says that people cannot, for gain, put Party A together with Party B unless they're licensed as real estate brokers. And Mr. Hammond was not, Gateway was not. And I think that there are obviously benefits by having separate entities and separate companies, but there are also drawbacks because you're separate. And you can't act one for the other, you act for yourself. So with that in mind, unless there's further questions, that's all I have to offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Case just argued is submitted.